You're listening to a Castaway Media podcast. Find more great shows on our website, castaway.media.
Hello and welcome to the UK's number one award-winning retro gaming podcast show. This is Retro Asylum, and this is the very first episode of Retro Asylum Bite Size. Shorter, snappier episodes that focus on one or two things. Not sure how often we're going to publish these, but yes, it is the start of a new series. And let me first kick off with saying a huge thank you to all those who took time to vote for us in the UK Podcasters Awards. We did actually win the best video game podcast of 2015. So obviously this is a huge thing for us, and I want to thank everyone who voted, all our listeners, and all of those people who have made it possible for us to become as popular as we currently are. Okay, so what's been happening in the world of Retro Asylum other than that? Well, recently we sent the Drisk off to Birmingham, although he happens to live there, which is a bit of a result because it saves on the fares. We sent him to EGX 2015, so you can check that out on the YouTube channel of Retro Asylum. And of course, what have we got else got going on? It is the Star Wars specials. Episode 1 of those has just kicked off. Absolutely amazing. Please do check it out if you haven't done already. And there are two more to come, and trust me, they're going to be just as good as the first, if not better. So, this episode, we're going to be talking to a guy called Craig Turner. Now, he runs Revival, and it's launching again this year, Revival 2015, in November, the 28th and 29th, I believe. So, I've got Craig on the line. Craig, hello, mate. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Yeah, not bad at all, thanks, mate. So, Craig, you're stepping into quite a big pair of shoes, taking over from Chris Wilkins. What made you agree to that, mate?
Well, it wasn't so much a matter of taking over, so much as taking two loads onto one. It was always a partnership between me and Chris, but with Chris taking on more and more with his books, obviously, you know, he does the retro books and things like that, he just found that there wasn't enough time to do what we do. Planning an event's quite a big thing. So after a bit of consideration and a bit of a chat with the rest of the team, I just decided, yeah, okay, I'll go ahead with it on my own now and just see how it flows.
As you mentioned, Chris has gone into publishing. Have you had a chance to read his latest book, the US Gold book?
The US Gold one, no, not as of yet. I've got the Ocean one, and he actually was due to swing by the other day with a copy of the US Gold book for me. There's still a few things we've got to bash out regarding the last events. But I wasn't in, so as soon as I do, I'm sure it'll be a good read. Other people have told me it'll be a good read, so I shall check that out as soon as I get a chance to.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't actually got the US Gold book myself either yet, but my co-host Paul Davies has, so I'll have to try and figure a way to borrow, stroke, steal it from him. So anyway, back to Revival. Will it be changing a lot now that you've taken over?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's pretty much going to be a lot of the same stuff that people enjoy. I mean, there's going to be a lot of the content that, you know, that people are used to. It's a case of reinventing ourselves, I suppose. Doing the big events at Dunstall were, you know, there were great events, that there were nice big events. But I've got to be honest, we kind of got ahead of ourselves a little bit because being like a hobbyist team, we've all got full-time jobs away from this. And the scale we were going to was, it was getting to be a little bit unmanageable, which is part of the reason that Chris has backed out. Originally, I was going to back out at some point last year, so you can see it got quite tense with the pressure trying to do such a big event. So what we're doing is we're kind of backtracking a little bit. We've scaled it back, and after a long period out myself through ill health and other reasons, I've decided that the best thing to do for this year was just to kind of go back to a more social meet and, I suppose, attempt to get our footing again, ready to come back full scale next year. The last events have been like a couple of thousand people, And we also did a mini event in 2013, which some people came to. That was a very small affair, really, and the intention of that was to launch the Ocean book, which we just discussed. But this year, we're doing very much a lot of the same, just focusing on the gaming this time, really. Some of the fringe things, like the talks and some of the extras that we had at previous events, we've kind of stripped back on for this one. And this one is just purely about the gaming. So the idea is that if we do well with this one, we can return full scale next year. And there's actually plans now to go to 6 monthly events rather than full yearly, to larger events and doing them in the summer and the winter.
So it is being held in a different location, is that right?
That's right, yeah. There's in terms of venues, Dunstall was far too large to do what I wanted to plan this year. So I've actually sought out a venue that's still local, still in Wolverhampton, but it's got direct access to the M6. So for people travelling, it's going to be a lot more accessible. And it's got a capacity of about 350 people per day. So you're looking to get in about 700 people over the weekend, which is still, you know, still a nice size event when you compare it to some of the smaller meets.
Yeah.
And we've still got a lot of the stuff we have at the big shows. I mean, in that kind of space, we're still cramming in over 35 arcade machines. We've got about 10 pinballs coming. And for small events, it's quite a thing to get in the arcade machines. The place is called Brookfields Leisure Centre. It's actually an annex to a riding school and a private farm. So I know a lot of people were looking at it when we released it, kind of saying, well, where is it? It comes in quite a large piece of land, and that's just because the entire property, acres, are owned by the same family. So, but it's a nice venue. It's nice and accessible. It's right off M6 Junction 11, and it's only a couple of miles down the road from the racecourse, so anybody who's been to the previous events isn't going to get lost.
Well, personally, I'm glad that you're still able to host it in Wolverhampton, as it's fairly easy to get to from the southeast. As you know, a lot of the other events are held much further north in places such as Manchester and Blackpool, which for us southerners, softies, it's a bit of a mission. But Wolverhampton is pretty central, you know, it doesn't take too long to get to, and I think that's a case for a big part of the UK.
Yeah, that's part of the thing, see. I mean, as far as as far as gaming events in general went, there wasn't a lot being held within the Midlands. We had this discussion when we were first setting up, me and Chris, and obviously replay events were doing a lot of stuff, but initially it was, you know, only covered the north, until they started branching out and doing, obviously, the Geek event down in Margate and things like that. And there were also a few more personal meets going on down south. There were also the pinball events and that. But nothing was happening centrally, and we kind of asked ourselves, well, why? You know, even though it means a lot of people still have to travel, being central, it means everybody's travelling the same distance and it's not too far for anybody. So part of the reason we do Revival the way we do and kind of keep it to the Midlands is for that exact reason, so it's accessible for everyone. I mean, the M6 links will take you north and south, the M1 will bring you straight here from London, so it's very accessible for everybody, and we're trying to pick locations that aren't too far out in the sticks, or that they've got any of the problems some of the past venues I've been to have had problems with, like parking or access for the vans and things like that. I mean, obviously, when you bring in arcade machines, the traders and things like that, you've got to have somewhere that's nice and accessible. Yeah. And as it happens, it's only a couple of miles up the road from my house, so this one will be a lot more convenient for me.
You mentioned the arcade games. Are some of those from your own collection? Because I understand that you've got a few of your own.
Yeah, the majority of Revival's arcade machines have always come directly from me. I mean, obviously, I've got Turnicades is my business, and we build arcade machines. We've always taken some of our demo builds and things like that to previous events, but I've got a personal collection. It used to be around 20 arcade machines, but I had a bit of bad luck last year. Just before last year's event, there was a big fire at a unit adjacent to mine, and I lost 7 machines and about $4,000 worth of equipment. That was absolutely terrible. But since then, I've been kind of rebuilding my collection, and I've got around 12 machines of my own now, and I'm still acquiring more. And then the rest is coming from local collectors. Some of the machines that we've got coming, you won't have seen at other events because they're not from the major collectors and the big collectors. They're from a few local Midlands people who just happen to have big collections but generally don't get involved in events. So we are kind of keeping it, you know, very much a local flavour, and hopefully people who are travelling distance might see some things they just don't see at other events.
Yeah, have you got a list of some of the games that we can expect to see at the event?
Yeah, as you know, things can change daily, but we've got a few of like the absolute classics coming. We've got Gorf, which is a personal favourite, and he's actually one of my prized cabinets coming. We've got Phoenix coming, which Dave Otto is actually bringing along. We've got Kix, we've got Ms. Pac-Man, we've got an original Donkey Kong. In terms of other types of games, the races, we've got quite a few races coming. We've got Outrun and Turbo Outrun making an appearance. We've got Ridge Racer Deluxe, the big six-speed shifter, 33-inch screen job. We've also got, as far as I'm aware, Killer Instinct 2 is coming. We've got a few candies coming, so there's a hell of a variety for everybody. There's going to be fighting games, shooting games, platform games, you name it, we've got it.
Cool, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Funnily enough, I've been feeling very nostalgic for arcade games myself recently. I've got a one-off cocktail cab here that actually belongs to my co-host Paul Davies, which has got two screens in it. He doesn't currently have the room for it, so I'm looking after it for him. So I've been playing on that quite a bit recently.
I have a suspicion I've seen that cabinet as it happens.
I think he did travel up to the Midlands, actually, to buy it. Did he get it from you?
That's a discussion for another day, but yes, I am aware of it. If it's the one I'm thinking of, I am aware of it.
Okay, so there you go. Hopefully he didn't steal it from you or something. But yeah, I've been playing that an awful lot lately.
Yeah.
So Craig, no doubt there will be some traders at Revival 2015. Could you tell our audience who to expect?
We've got a few traders coming. We've got one of the main ones, which is kind of partnered with us, is Vintage Gamer. There's a chap called Nick Brown. He runs a retro gaming shop over in Hales Owen, and he helps our events by borrowing us a few of his machines, and he also helps co-fund some of the events. So we give him a good space. He tends to get some good import stuff, some of the rarer games, but he's also got your kind of general, you know, your day-to-day wares, the typical games for the typical consoles. But we've got Sore Thumb Gaming coming. That they're frequent on the show circuit. They specialise in the import stuff. So if you're looking for the rare Jap consoles, the American consoles, they tend to pick up a lot of that kind of gear. Who else have we got coming? Chris Wilkins is coming, as I just mentioned. He'll be selling the Ocean books, the US Gold books, and the other things that are coming along. We've got, I'm just trying to think, the Retro Lords who do our hosting, they've usually got a whole host of retro collectibles. We've got the new one called the Retro Hunter. They'll be bringing a lot of collectibles such as comics and things as well.
The Retro Hunter is actually a good friend of ours. He was, up until recently, one of our hosts, but has just left to concentrate on the new business, actually.
Oh, right, okay, I wasn't aware of that. So, yeah, they will be coming along. We've also got Every Bit Gaming, who are used to selling, they sell console stuff, but they also do modifications to the old DMG Game Boys. So they do the light mods, the case mods and things like that. They'll be bringing some of those kind of things along. We've got Rastermania, who from Belgium, who specialise in the arcade goods. He'll be bringing arcade PCBs, arcade parts, Neo Geo parts. There's so many. I'm trying to try and recap them all now. We've managed to squeeze quite a lot of traders into a small space. And what's quite good about the Revival events is we've run the Revival membership card scheme. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I wasn't.
You can buy a membership card when you buy your ticket. And once you hold a card, it entitles you to early entry at all of our events. You're getting 1 hour earlier before everybody else. which obviously you'll know from past events, if you're hunting bargains, that's the best thing to do. You're getting in there earlier, you can cherry pick all the goods. And it also entitles you to a 10% discount with any of the traders that have chosen to participate. So if you know you're already looking for a bargain, you go in and find those rare things, and you're also entitled to a discount. Getting one of these cards is definitely the way to go.
Ah, cool. We'll have to sign up for that. What I've really liked about Revival in the past is you don't just focus on console side of gaming. The event has always had its fair share of computer gaming, arcade, pinball, you know, amongst other things. Will we see more of that?
Yes, you certainly are. Like I say, besides the arcade games, we're actually getting the pinball into this one, which is something you don't see at every event. We've got the Super Mario Brothers pinball, which is very relevant. Yeah. We've got some of the specials like Revenge from Mars. I don't know if you're aware of that one. The Pinball 2000 one. That is a fantastic machine. We've got on-stage competitions and prizes. The Retro Lords will be doing their usual madcap stuff up on stage. And as far as systems go, we've got well over 60 systems altogether. Retro Computer Museum up in Leicester, they're providing some of the equipment for that. We've got things like the Virtual Boy allowed a handheld to come in. We've got the retro computers coming. We've got the Spectrums, the Commodores, the Amstrads, Acorn, Micro, Amigas, STs. Trying to reel them all off on one hand's kind of hard. We've got an Atari Falcon coming as well, which is kind of a rarity. A couple of the private collectors who are involved with the show have actually got some secret things up the sleeve that they haven't even let me into. So I'm not quite sure exactly what we're going to be getting, but you can be assured that all the main consoles, all the computers of the 70s and 80s are going to be there, and possibly some quite rare systems as well. We've also got some plans for a big multiplayer area, which always goes down well at the events. We're planning a dual projector, 8-player Mario Kart Double Dash setup up in the multiplayer area. So that'll be nice for some 8-player Mario Kart. And I believe the guys on stage have got a few neat little tricks up the sleeve as well for the on-stage competitions. So just wait and see.
So it sounds like you'll have something for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even though we've stripped back on things like the talks this year, there's just no capacity for it. I know that's a big feature, and that's something we're hoping to bring back next year. Quite a few of our previous guests are actually going to be in attendance. They've been invited to come along and just generally mingle with the crowd. So a lot of the ex-Ocean staff will be coming along. I've had word from certain other people, like the Olivers and other people, who said they may come along and just generally come and enjoy the event, you know, rather than it be a big formal thing where they've got to get up on the microphone. They just want to come and enjoy the games and have a chat about next year. So we shall see what happens.
Well, we've always found that a lot of the programmers are up for a chat whilst they're having a walk around anyway. Most of them are quite sociable. You do get the odd one or two who are quite shy, but the majority of them are always up for a chat.
Yeah, that's the thing, see. The beauty of a lot of the events that I go to is that not only are you getting to enjoy a game, it's the whole social aspect. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of show regulars as well as the general public coming in and just kind of getting a feel for it. And I think it surprises some people when they come to our events and they see that not only are the guests just up there to do a 10-minute piece up on a microphone, but they're actually walking around just talking to people. And, you know, they're very approachable. And that they'll talk to you about games they've produced, you know, that they'll give interviews to any of the bloggers who are turning up. And they're quite happy to just sit and talk games with you, you know. And quite often, I mean, people will approach them, start talking about something without realising who they are. And even though a lot of them have got a nice shiny pass on their chest with saying exactly who they are, some people will be there quite surprised to find out they're talking to a programmer of a game that they absolutely love. So, you know, that's part of what we're trying to always bring into our events. It's the whole social thing. And because our events have, as you mentioned, got a very much retro focus, I mean, our intention is to keep modern gaming away from it as much as possible. There's already plenty of events that do that, and that's great. But our events, we are intending to keep entirely retro gaming. There's still other aspects like the cosplay, which people always enjoy. There's still always going to be modern systems there running, like remakes and you know, the modern reimaginings, I suppose, of the old franchises. But for us, it's about keeping it entirely retro. And I think that's why people like the programmers like to come along and kind of immerse themselves in what we would call the arcade ambience, which is the atmosphere we try to recreate.
I totally agree with that, Craig. I've attended for the past 2 years, and I've got to say, it's always been my personal favourite out of all the retro-themed events held around the country. As you say, it really does focus on the older games, which obviously I relate to the most when it comes to gaming, and I should imagine most of our listeners do too. Plus, again, as you say, it captures that old-school ambience of an old arcade hall. So, Craig, tell us when it actually takes place, as it's taking place in a different time of the year than previous events, which I think could work out better for you in the long run.
Yes, this one is at a place called Brookfield Leisure Centre. That's WV107LZ. It's right by M6 Junction 11 in Wolverhampton, actually on the outskirts of Wolverhampton, on the 28th and the 29th of November this year. So as far as we're aware, it's pretty much the last event on the event calendar for this year. And I say it's going to encompass about 700 people over the weekend, and there's 100 free parking spaces there. You can come along and stay at the hotels, pretty local to it. A lot of the hotels we've used for previous events are also valid. We've also been told as well, if you're so inclined and you're a caravaner or you are on a camper van, you are allowed to pitch up on the premises and stay there overnight. So if you're struggling for digs and you know somebody who's got a caravan, tow it along and you've got somewhere to stay.
Great. So worst comes to the worst, we can keep in a tent. How much are the tickets, by the way, and are they still available?
Yes, they are. The Saturday tickets are going very fast, as you would expect. Saturday is always more popular. Yeah. Tickets are limited because we have restrictions on the amount we can allow in, but tickets are £10 for adults, £5 for children and concessions. There's also family tickets available for a slightly reduced cost if you're coming along, as many of us old gamers have got kids. There's also press passes available if select people, if needed.
I will say, actually, to anyone who has got kids who hasn't been to an event like this before, do bring them along because it's amazing seeing how kids take to these games. They seem to get them straight away. You would think that, you know, because of the modern systems, they would take one look at the graphics of these older games and turn their nose up, but that really isn't the case.
Yeah, it's always something that surprises. Well, it doesn't surprise us, I suppose. It's something that makes us smile because with modern games, there's always a big build-up and tutorials, and you're eased into the game because of the general complexity of it. You compare that to the older games. You can walk up to any old system, pick up a controller, and instantly know what's going on. You know, you can pick up, press start, and within seconds you're into the game. And I think that's something that kids can relate to. I mean, we all know kids have got short attention spans. If they could pick up a game and play it within a couple of minutes, they're hooked, you know what I mean? And I suppose one of the biggest things that I like to, especially for my nieces and nephews and family members who've got kids, the spectacle of the arcade is something they just don't get. It's something that doesn't really exist today, I suppose. I mean, yes, there are efforts going on to recreate the old arcades. I mean, obviously, you've got things like the Arcade Club up north. There's some new projects happening down towards London, I'm aware of. But the spectacle of the classic arcade is completely gone. And yes, you've got these big showy machines that are based on movies and things like that today. But the spectacle of a proper arcade cabinet decorated properly, you know, the pings and the zings of a pinball machine, it's something that kids never get to experience these days, and they never will. So bringing them along and for them to come in and see all those nice flashy cabinets all lined up is something that really appeals to them. And I think it's really something the parents get to be quite proud of, that they got to experience that and can then pass that on to the next generation.
Yeah, the arcade ambience is sadly lacking in the so-called arcades of today. Most of these places are now full of fruit machines, coin pushers. It's such a shame the way the arcade industry has gone.
It's one of those things, I suppose, that it's just a sign of the times, really. Arcade operators have got to make the money, and I suppose the old vids didn't have quite the same pull as they did. I mean, as you know, once they started to improve the hardware of the home consoles and everything, the arcade experience was lost on a lot of people. Yeah. You know, why go out for it when you can get it at home, kind of thing? I think that's what's nice about the hobby in general. I mean, I'm part of the arcade collecting forums and things like that, and these machines that cost many thousands of pounds back in the day, you know, you can now pick one up for a few hundred quid if you've got the room for them in your house, you know what I mean? And there's so many people now doing it. It's amazing to see it all come together. I mean, a lot of people have got one, maybe two in their home these days, and yet when you come to an event like this and you see that all the classics put together, and you realise the value of all those machines and how you used to marvel at them back in the day, it's just amazing to see that there's people still interested in those old games and still willing to painstakingly maintain the old consoles, the old computers. You know, things fail over time, so to put those all together in one room is, it's quite a thing to see.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've got to ask you, Craig, what was the first arcade cab that you bought when you first started collecting them?
Ooh, I'm just trying to think now. Back in the day before I started Turnercades, I mean, I always had a vested interest in retro gaming and the arcade gaming especially. I bought a Raven Games Super Gun, you know, where you can plug the arcade PCB in and play it on your TV.
Yeah.
And I managed to pick up some quite rare games now and play those at home. And once I did that, I got hooked, I've got to be honest, but it became a bit of a pain handling the flimsy PCBs. So it was a couple of years later that I built my first cabinet, and then after that I started to buy them up as I saw them come available. I think the first cabinet I actually bought was my... It was a cocktail cabinet. It was a Crazy Kong cocktail cabinet. Now, I love the cocktail cabinets. I think they're really unique, and it's something, if you speak to any American collectors or Japanese collectors, they don't seem to have the same affinity for them that we do. But if you walked into a working men's back in the day,
or,
a typical working men's or a pub, a lot of them had them, you know, with points lined up on top of them, you know what I mean? It was somewhere you could sit for the night and just enjoy your game in between conversations. So, so the first one was a Crazy Kong cocktail. And then from there, anyone will tell you who collects arcade machines, it gets quite addictive. You'll buy one, you'll buy a second, and before you know it, you've got a room full of them, and you don't quite know what to do with them. I've got quite a few broken ones at the moment, but I suppose some of my most prized ones would be my Gorf. I absolutely love my Gorf machine. I've now got Terra Cresta. I've got Crazy Taxi, a bit more modern, but absolutely fantastic machine. What else have I got? I'm just trying to think now, going back through them all.
You must have a very understanding wife, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. You've always got to factor in the wife factor. If you haven't got an understanding wife, you're going to struggle. Thankfully for me, I've got my units that we do our work out of, and most of my stuff is stored in there for the majority of the time. But pretty soon there's going to be a big change to the Turner household, because we're having an extension built, and it's entirely for my own selfish purposes. All of my collection is going to be coming back here and being integrated into my house. So,
great stuff.
She'll have to be very understanding to allow that.
Yeah, you'll have to send us some pictures once it's done.
I certainly will.
Okay, Craig, thanks for joining us. And again, guys, that's the 28th and 29th of November.
That's right, yeah, the 28th and 29th of November. Pretty much a 9-to-5 affair. And like I say, grab a Revival membership card and you get to come in early.
Lovely. Great stuff. Okay, Craig, we wish you all the best of luck with it, mate. And hopefully I'll get there. I'm not sure if I can attend due to other commitments, but the rest of the Retro Asylum team will be there to show their support. And as always, I'm sure it'll be a great day. Thanks, Craig.
No problem. Nice speaking to you.
Okay, guys. Well, there you have it. Revival 2015 taking place on the 28th and 29th of November in Wolverhampton. Please do try and get along if you can. I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely wonderful event. The past couple of years there have been really good. And I know a few people have questioned, you know, Chris Wilkins going, will it be the same? And yeah, I had to ask Craig the same question, but you know, Craig was a massive part of those original shows anyway, and just like when Andy left this show, a few people was all doom and gloom, thought it was going to end, thought the quality was going to get worse. Well, you know, that's not always the case when these things happen. So guys, please do try and get along to that, and please do try and check out Retro Asylum, both on YouTube and the actual podcast show. We've got the two more Star Wars episodes coming. I'm not actually part of those. They've already been recorded, but I'll be back after that, probably with Paul Davies, hopefully Drisk, Steve and Matt. And yeah, here's to the rest of the year. And guys, keep on playing those classic games. I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
This was a Castaway Media production. Find us on Twitter at Castaway Media or on Facebook, facebook.com/Castaway Podcasts.